There are so many things in the world that could take our gaze, could demand our attention to listen to them, and could cause us great anxiety and worry. And sometimes we can fall into the trap of focusing in on what's in front of us or around us. And this morning, I just want to encourage you to look once again to Jesus. That's kind of the big message of the series, to behold who Jesus is in John's Gospel. And so far we have looked at John chapter 1, 2, 3, and the first half of chapter 4 since the beginning of the year. And we have been reminded or relearnt that Jesus is eternal and he steps into a temporal world. That he is light that cannot be extinguished, even though the world may seem a dark place at times. He is full of grace, where so much of the world is all about judging others. And he's full of truth, where so much of the world is full of lies. He is the giver of the Holy Spirit. And in the world, people go after things that will give them a momentary high or a momentary feeling of love. But God gives us through Jesus, his Holy Spirit, who gives us eternal, unquenchable love and empowering and equipping. He lives among his people, not staying at a distance. He is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, not coming as a mighty warrior, but coming as a humble, sacrificial servant. He is the Messiah, as John talks to him, describes him, and as last week we heard that the woman at the well, is told by Jesus that he is the Messiah. Jesus describes to Nathanael that we will see heaven open. Jesus is the miracle worker, the clearer of the temple where he seeks pure worshippers. We need to lift our eyes, open up our Bibles and see Jesus and realize that actually, although the things around us may seem challenging and discouraging, we have a God who is eternal, a God who is powerful, a God who is personal, and a God who is present amongst us by Christ's Holy Spirit. We left the passage last week with this verse 42 of chapter 4. We no longer believe, this is the crowd of Samaritans, we no longer believe just because of what the woman had said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man, Jesus, really is the Saviour of the world. When I was growing up, there was a lady called Mrs. Gronwy in the church. Please forgive me if I've shared this story with you before. She was 101 when she died. On her 100th birthday, she was asked, "What's the secret, Mrs. G, for long life?" She was a really spiritual woman, and she was the mother-in-law of the senior pastor when I was growing up. And she said, "Always use proper butter." And we were expecting kind of have your quiet time with Jesus every day. But no, she said that the secret to long life was having proper butter. Every Sunday, when her son-in-law went out to preach, this is something that he said at the funeral when she passed to glory. Every single Sunday when he went out to preach, he would come back she lived with them, and Mrs. Gronwy would say, "Jeff, did you tell them about Jesus? If you ever go to a church and they don't tell you about Jesus, then they've missed out on the good news." And this morning, I really want us to just fall in love afresh with Jesus. As we read a Bible story that, because it comes just after the woman at the well in chapter 4, sometimes we can jump over it because The woman at the well, it's a wonderful story where Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, knows something about a woman that he's never actually met. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth about her, and Jesus speaks that truth to her, and she responds. And sometimes we can jump over this next narrative where Jesus heals a royal official's son. We're reading in chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. After the 2 days he spent in Samaria, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. We'll read the rest of the narrative in a moment, but I just want to break it up this week and make some comments as we go through. In verse 43 to 45, the verses up on the screen, we see that at times, being familiar with something can breed contempt. There's that phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. And I'm not suggesting necessarily that people here are so familiar with Jesus that you're actually contempt of him. But maybe we've got so familiar with Jesus that we've forgotten how amazing he is. And we've begun to worry a bit more. Or we've forgotten how wonderful God is as a provider, and therefore we stress about our money. That's something that keeps on hitting me at times. Not every single day, but like a lot of the population, let's just get the data. 88% of British people report money worries impact their sleep. 3 in 10 British people feel anxious about their financial situation. 74% feel vulnerable about their financial situation. That's maybe one of the areas that, as British people, we worry about the most, and whatever we worry about the most, maybe we trust God the least in. Have we become so familiar with Jesus that we forget that he can be utterly trusted with our finances, or utterly trusted with our future, or our present, or our family? In verse 43 to 45, he goes back to his home area, to Galilee. And he himself has said, in verse 44, he points out himself that a prophet has no honor in his own country. But they welcome him. Verse 45, when he arrived in Galilee, they welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival. Just a cross-reference, that's John 2, verse 23, where he performed many signs and wonders. And they welcomed him. In this passage, the people are seeking the miracles, but not the message or the messenger. They welcome in the miracle worker who is one of their own, but they're not going to welcome the prophet. Can you remember that question that John the Baptist was asked in chapter 1, where he said, "Are you the prophet?" Chapter 1, verse 21. "Are you the prophet that Moses promised, the one that was to come from God and that we, God's people, need to listen to?" John says, "No, I'm not the prophet, but he's coming into the world. He's among you." And Jesus reminds his disciples, a prophet in his own country has no honor, that people aren't going to listen to him. People aren't going to pay attention to what he is saying, what he is teaching. But then they welcome him. They welcome the miracle worker, but not the prophet, the one who's going to speak from God, the one who talks about God and morals and sin and future judgment. Yes, the people wanted the miracle to relieve them from sickness or troubles or pain. And Jesus is basically knowing that where he goes, the people will be after that quick fix moment, but not necessarily will be submitting their or seeking to submit their lives to him and his message. The passage goes on. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee. This was the place he had turned water into wine, in chapter 2. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. Now, just to show you a map, Capernaum is the top yellow circle or oval, and Cana is up in the mountains. It's a massive incline, an elevation gain of about 15,000 foot or feet. I've put it in feet. I don't know what feet are, but I guess that would be a better thing than meters in this gathering. And it would be such a climb up from Capernaum to Cana, about 25 miles uphill. Let's carry on. Verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. This man knew something of Jesus that caused him to go through a challenging journey just to invite Jesus to come back to Capernaum so that he could heal his son. He knew something about Jesus. He had faith and trust in Jesus that Jesus could actually help his son. What do you know about Jesus that causes you to turn to him? Maybe not traveling 25 miles uphill. But what is it about Jesus that brings you confidence? That brings you a slither of hope and confidence in the situation that you're in? That actually from turning from the situation that you're in, you're actually turning to Jesus himself. That faith caused this royal official to seek Jesus' help despite the challenge. And he goes there and says, Jesus, come and heal my sick son. But Jesus had already said, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. That seems harsh, doesn't it? Well, it did to me. This man wants Jesus to come with him. And Jesus is not just challenging the man, but also the crowd around to say, don't just get satisfied for the momentary sign and wonder, because there's so much more. Don't just come to me for what you can get from me, but just come to me. Faith based on signs and wonders, verse 48, is not sufficient. Once a month since June, we've held a Heavenly Wellness Cafe just in the foyer. It's for people outside of the church to come, not for people within the church to come. People within the church, if you want prayer, we can pray for you. You can pray for one another. But this is for people from outside of the church to come and meet Jesus through prayer. And every single month there have been people who've come and had Jesus give them peace or give them wisdom into a situation and physical or emotional healing and people coming to faith. Every single month we've opened the doors on that Monday for the Heavenly Wellness Cafe. Some people will come. There was one lady who came the first time in June, and she came along and her back was healed, bam, just like that. They prayed for her, and she'd had loads and loads of back pain, and they prayed for her, and bam. I bumped into her the following week. She said, "My back's brilliant." I said, "Well, can I talk to you more about Jesus?" "No." She was after the signs and wonders, but not after the faith and relationship with Jesus himself. And we've got people coming there because they're desperate, like this royal official, for that momentary miracle in the situation that they're in. But Jesus is saying faith in signs and wonders, faith in that just the miracle isn't sufficient. There's so much more, and we need to be praying as a church that as people come to that cafe, or they're prayed for in the street, or at cafes, or wherever people from our church pray in Jesus' name for healing and wholeness and things, that actually they don't just stop there, but they progress into faith in Christ himself. Because that's what the royal official does. The journey is found, or it starts in verse 50. Jesus says, "Go." And this is a big test. Jesus doesn't say no to the royal official's request. He doesn't say, "Jesus, will you come and heal my son?" Jesus doesn't explicitly say no. He says, "Go, and your son will live." And it's a massive statement in verse 50. The man says, "Come down before my child dies." And Jesus says, "Go." And in that word, in that sentence, in the phrase where Jesus says, "Your son will live," Jesus is inviting the royal official to trust in Jesus. Not to just see Jesus put his hand on him, but to trust in Jesus' power. To trust in the ability of Christ to heal from a distance. To trust in his authority. To do things even if we don't see them there and then, but to walk in faith back to Capernaum and believe that what Jesus has said will actually happen. And I love the last part of verse 50. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He didn't say, "No, Jesus, I'm not leaving here until you come with me. I'm not leaving here until I'm grabbing hold of you and pulling you to Capernaum." He placed his trust in Jesus. He had faith to take Jesus at his word without seeing the outcome. This is real faith. A cross-reference on the screen from Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. We may not see all the promises of Christ for us come to fruition in front of us." That doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to fulfill them. What promise of Christ do you need to hold on to afresh this morning? And when you go from this place, that you go taking him at his word. The passage continues. Verse 51, While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. These signs that Jesus performs in Scripture, these wonders and signs that Jesus performs through his people as they pray in his name now, today, They point us to the true identity and help us wonder about the brilliance of Jesus. They're called signs and wonders on purpose. Signs point us to things and help us wonder. The royal official found faith in the person of Jesus. Have you got that fresh faith today? This second sign in John's Gospel. Pointing towards the person and identity and power of Jesus. Have you got faith in Jesus? Not past faith, but present faith. Relational trust in him. Not seeking him for what he can give us, but seeking him and finding him. Full of grace and truth. Compassionate when we deserve condemnation. In a moment, we will be approaching communion. And we do so in faith. Faith not in what is seen, but faith in what has been said and done by Jesus. Faith not in a sign and wonder, but faith in him and his wonderful sacrificial love shown to us on the cross. Faith not in a miracle of healing, but through his cross, a miracle of salvation and reconciliation with God himself. We need to lift our eyes to Jesus, placing our confidence and trust in him. Let's pray and ask God to help us to do that. Father God, there are so many signs in the world that we ignore at our peril. No entry. Road is closed. Bridge is broken. They would all result in damage or hurt if we were driving along and ignored them. Help us not in these moments and in the days ahead to ignore the signs in Scripture of who you are, what you are like, and point to the wonder you are. How wonderful, how marvelous you are. Give us fresh vision of you. Not stale faith on stories of old, but by your Holy Spirit, make ancient narratives of you and descriptions of you from Scripture be fresh in our hearts and minds. And when we see and hear of things around us, may you draw our minds back to you and give us confidence and faith in you. Amen.